Certainly good to see everyone. One moment. There we go. Marty gave me instructions on that, so I think I got it right. We'll see you in a minute if I get the wave from somebody in the back. Everybody can hear me? Good. It is certainly good to be with you this evening. I know that we had some visitors come in, and we're certainly glad for your presence. We're always honored to have visitors with us that would take the time out of their traveling time and come to worship God with us. So if you're visiting with us, we certainly want you to know that you're welcome and welcome back at any time that you have an opportunity to be here. I have an opportunity this evening to speak to you. I'm certainly not the regular preacher here, and if you're visiting with us, please don't hold this against us here, because it's too bad tonight's not Super Bowl Sunday, because we'll be done in a minute or two. But and somebody asked me, Jeff, no, I'm not going to explain where babies come from either. That was a surprise this morning, Jeff. This day, as you've seen already, we've been led in services by a lot of young folks. And I just wanted to say how encouraging that is, how wonderful it is to know that those are the hands that the Lord's church is going to be left in soon enough. I don't really qualify anymore, I don't think, into the young category, but nonetheless, it's a pleasure to be able to speak to you and have the opportunity afforded by the elders here. I know that this morning, Brother Jeff brought us a fantastic lesson. If you didn't hear that, I would encourage you to get that off of tape, because it was very, very good. And he was filling in. He was filling in for Aaron. As most of you know, Aaron lives with me. And so for the past several days, I've been listening to him rehearse the things that he was going to say this morning. And I know he was upset that he ended up sick, and I look forward to hearing him next week. But some of the things that I had prepared to say were really kind of following some of the stuff I had heard him talk about. And so I knew, you know, the direction that he was going. And so basically he's pretty much messed up my entire sermon tonight. And so I thought I would just show some family photos and we would start there. This is my mom sitting on top of a bridge. Not really. I want to talk about peer pressure. And this is a subject that we talk about quite often. We usually talk about it in Bible classes, I know, and that's usually the place that we hear about it the most. But I think there's application in peer pressure for us all. And I hope that as we look at some things this evening, that this is going to be a very encouraging message. That's my intention. There are some negative things to be talked about when we mention peer pressure. And we'll mention some of those. But I think maybe we don't always think of peer pressure as having some encouraging thoughts. And so I want to go back to this picture. This bridge, many of you know this bridge. This is the bridge. Many of you have been to this bridge. This bridge is in North Carolina, and when some of us get to take trips up there, this is one of the highlights of those trips. It's 32 feet, as I've mentioned here, from the top rail of the bridge to the surface of the water below. That really probably doesn't mean a whole lot to most of us. But as you look at this bridge, you might be inclined, as some have, to think, well, that would be fun to jump off of. And maybe not. I know that there's others in the congregation that think, no, that's what people who are crazy and are looking to, you know, end things do. They jump off bridges. So it's not fun at all. But there are a few. There are some who have looked at this bridge and thought that. And as you stand at the top of this bridge and you consider, well, even before that, you know, you're coming up to this bridge and you've heard people have had fun and they've jumped off this bridge and it looks, oh, that looks like so much fun. And then you get to the top. And some just run right up to the bridge, and this euphoria of excitement is over them, and they do. They just
They just leap right off. And wow, that looks like so much fun. They had so much fun and they landed safely. And then you stand. And it's 32 feet to the surface of the water. And 32 feet now seem like 100. Because you can see the ripples in the water, but they seem so far away. And for any who have a little bit of fear of heights, that's a long way. But, you know, one person jumped off. And if maybe one person can jump off, well, you know, maybe somebody else can. Now, I apologize for the quality of these pictures. I took some of them. The quality wasn't that good when I began. And then I scanned them in and put them on these screens. And so it's difficult, really, to see. That's Marty. And yes, by the way, Marty jumped off this bridge. He did. More to the second description than the first. He wasn't one that ran right up and jumped off like Nicole was. But, you know, some will jump, and if one will and they're safe, and another will and they're safe, well, then a whole group will go. And then after that, you know, they get brave and they start springing off. And with the encouragement of others, they've landed safely in the water. And they're like, come on, you can do it too. You can jump. It's fun. You might even encourage someone who, with great wisdom and knowledge of life and children and you know, common sense, you might even convince Stephanie Haley to jump off. And she did. Peer pressure did that, though. Peer pressure. This is, like I said, often one of those subjects that we direct at the very young. And sometimes we talk about it in Bible class, which is certainly appropriate. But I want to say that, you know, peer pressure, let me encourage you young folks by telling you something discouraging. It never goes away. And the encouraging part about that is that everyone here is a support group in a sense. They are a peer group in a sense because everyone here deals with that. Everyone here has peer pressure. And so, young folks, be encouraged that it's not just you. I don't want you to feel like, my goodness, you know, my friends at school are doing this, or the people where I'm working this part-time job are doing that. And how do I deal with that? Well, you know, maybe it's a little discouraging to know that it never goes away. Certainly, as we grow up, we become more mature and we're able maybe to make stronger decisions, but the peer pressure is still there. And so what exactly is peer pressure? I think we all have an idea of that. And this is the way I define it. I could have looked it up, but I kind of have my own idea of what peer pressure is. And I think it's really kind of two parts. One is the pressure that we put on ourselves, by ourselves, to be like the ones that are around us. You know, they may not really care. You may have a group of friends that you run with, and you want to be like, they don't care whether you are or not, but you want to be like them. And so there's a pressure that you kind of put on yourself that's peer pressure, because you want to be like your peer group. Or the one we probably think of most of the time, the pressure put on us by the ones we are with to be like them or to do something that they want us to do. Simply put, I think that's peer pressure. Now notice, neither one of those indicate anything bad or good. Just peer pressure. And that's really something I want us to end with tonight. We're not there yet. But I want us to be encouraged by some forms of peer pressure. A passage I know that we're all so very familiar with. Your parents probably told you, you know, evil companions corrupt good morals, whichever version that you're using, bad communication leads to bad things. The people that you hang out with are going to have an influence on you. And if you hang out with bad people, chances are it's going to rub off on you. And so, you know, we look at that passage and we realize that's a good instruction. And we should certainly take heed. And we should listen to that. But the Bible talks about good peer pressure as well. Hebrews 10:24 through 25, I think, is a passage that we're all very familiar with about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because you get exhorted and edified by one another. If this is our peer group and this is who we spend time with, then those good things will rub off on us. And that's good peer pressure, because certainly I know all of us have been encouraged not to do things that are wrong because of the people we're with. And they've said, no, we're not, you know, we're not going to go see that movie, or we're not going to that place, or I don't think you should either. And that's good. That's exactly what God intended with this entire worship service. And so there is good peer pressure and there's bad peer pressure. Think about Adam and Eve for a minute. Here's a peer group that was pretty small. At the time, there was only the two of them. But Paul told Timothy that Adam was not deceived. It was the woman who was deceived. So why did Adam sin? And that's a question I don't know that we could debate for a long time and come up with a lot of reasons. But whatever the reason was, Eve was beguiled by the serpent, made a decision based on the pleasure that was available to her, the opportunity to have wisdom and knowledge like God, and to see that it was good for food, and she took it and she ate it and she was deceived. And then she gave it also to the man that was with her, and Adam. So whatever the answer to that question is, certainly the influence of who he was with left him in a sinful state. But maybe an example that's even more prominent for us would be a look at Lot's family. You'll recall in Genesis when Moses is describing Abraham and Lot, he describes them as having a great company with them. And lots of cattle or lots of herds, and they were both quite wealthy. And so much so that there was not enough room together where they were at. Lot's family and Abraham's family living together was not working out. And there were some quarrels going on. And so Abraham took Lot up into a high part of the land and looked over all of the valley and told Lot, "You choose which way you're going to go, and I'll go the other way. And you take all that you have," which was a great amount, "and I'll take mine, and we'll separate." And as you know the story, Lot chose the green valleys and made his camp toward Sodom. And you know the rest of that story as well. And my point is that when the angels came to take Lot out, he didn't have a great company with him anymore. There wasn't a lot left of what he had. All of the servants and all of the people and all of the family that was with Lot had been so influenced by the peers they had chosen to keep that in the end it was really Lot only. His wife turned back and his daughters were sent. And so you see a very, very harsh reality that the peer group that he chose destroyed all that he had. And so we have to ask the question, toward what are we camping? Toward where are we going? What kind of people do we keep company with? Are they good people? Are they a good influence on us? Do they do good things for us? Or do we make good decisions because of the people that we're with? What kind of movies do we see? Where do we go? What do we influence our minds with? What kind of music do we listen to? You know, and that's, I remember when I was a kid, parents saying, "I don't think that's that good of music. I don't think you should be listening to that." And I don't know, I think we were talking about maybe Elvis Presley or something. And now I hear music that I know is not good. The language that they use. And that's what I put up next. What kind of language do we surround ourselves with? What kind of language do we use? What kind of language do the people that we're hanging out with use? Some of us have friends you know that are involved in immorality. You know that when they're out away from their parents, they're involved in drinking. Drugs. I know some of you know people that use drugs. And no, I didn't make a mistake and put people up twice. I did it on purpose. Because all of these things really are about people. They're about the people that we hang out with. They're about people that we go to school with, people that we hang out with after school, people that we work with, people that we hang out with after work. All of those things are all based on people. But here's a good example. It's interesting that Paul uses peer pressure, in my estimation, you can be the judge. When he's talking to the churches, when he's talking specifically to the church at Corinth about the collection of money to go to the needy saints that are in Jerusalem, and he says to them, you made a commitment and you said you would do this, just as all of the churches of Macedonia have. And he uses that example of all of the churches that were doing good to say, you should do good as well. And he kind of used some peer pressure on them to say, live up to what you had committed to. And so as we look at ourselves, we could look at that slide before and all of those negative things, or we can say, this is our peer group. These are my friends. These are the ones that I hang out with. These are the ones that I go to school with, that I talk to on the phone. These are the people that have an influence in my life, and I know that they've got good advice for me. And in addition, because I'm a good Christian, I want to have good influence on them. Here's the peer group that convinced Marty to jump off the bridge. And everybody else in that picture jumped off the bridge. And I know that some of you will recognize most of those people in there. Here's some really, really good news. We get to choose our peer group. We get to choose who we hang out with. In Hebrews chapter 12... And I so appreciate the sermon this morning that Brother Jeff brought to us. And again, if you didn't get that, you certainly should. But in Hebrews chapter 12, I think it ties in very closely with what was going on with Stephen as he's preaching. Stephen preaches the sermon that we went over this morning, and then as they are stoning him to death, heaven opens up and he sees Jesus. This is a passage I know that we are very, very familiar with. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and every sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as Stephen was dying, that I think is the image that he saw. Because you see, we're all in a race. We're all in this race together, as the writer of Hebrews describes. And he says that this race of life, you might feel like you are alone. You may feel like you are surrounded by immorality and all of the people that you know are sinful. And you may say that I am all alone in this world. But the writer of Hebrews says, no, you're not. The writer of Hebrews says that you are in a race. It's a straight and narrow race. We've used that image somewhere else before. And though you may not be able to see them, on this side is a great grandstand and on that side is a great grandstand. And we are surrounded by a whole host of people, the whole cloud, he says. A cloud is something you can't even see through. It's so thick with so many people. Can you imagine who's in that crowd? Moses is in that crowd. Think about that. Moses, Elijah, the two that came to the Transfiguration with Jesus, the people that he wanted as a peer group. They're in that crowd. Matthew, Luke, Paul, Peter are all in this crowd, this cloud of witnesses. They're on both sides. And that they are standing and cheering and encouraging and saying, you can do that. And so when we feel like we're alone, we're not. But even more impressive in this picture, you see, I kind of see this picture in my own mind almost like a medieval occurrence where maybe there's jousting going on. And if you can think about that kind of image, normally the king comes to view those tournaments. And where does he sit? He sits in a throne up above the stands, and he can see everything. And he's looking over all that's going on from his preeminent position. And then there's the crowd of cheerers that are encouraging their jouster or their competitor. But that's not the image, really, that this writer describes for us. Our king is standing at the finish line. Our King of Kings, Jesus, the Lord of Lords, stands at the finish line and says, you can make it. And I have this vision of him holding out his hand saying, I'm helping you along. You can get here. The finish line's within your grasp. Heaven is yours. I've already given it to you. All you have to do is have a good influence on people that are around you. You can't help but do that if you're living a Christian life. You can't help but be a good peer to the ones that are around you if you're living a Christian life. If you are encouraged by the cloud of witnesses that are there. If you are an encourager as well. And so really, that's my message. That's what I want to share with you. Is that peer pressure can be a negative thing. But peer pressure, when you've chosen the right peers, can be the most encouraging thing in our entire lives. Who are your peers? Who have you chosen? It may be that even this evening you've not chosen this group yet as your peers because you've not put on Jesus Christ in baptism. And it may be that even tonight, looking at these few scriptures, that you realize that's the crowd that I want to be part of. That's the church. That's the body. This Jesus Christ, who came to this world and now stands ready to help you make it through, who was crucified and sacrificed for our sins so that we could run this race successfully, who died for us but was resurrected again to give us hope that when we finish this race, we'll be resurrected new in heaven. That we'll have a new life. That we'll have a new body. That we will have eternity to live in the presence of God. That's the race that we're running. It's already won. It's already been fought. Jesus has won the victory. And now all we have to do is finish the race. If you see a need to be part of that peer group, then we stand ready this evening even to help you do that while together we stand and sing.